Praise God. You guys ready? Thank you, Lord. Father God, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for the gift of life. For Eliana, we ask a blessing over Mindy and Maddie, Gretchen, as they're around her, Lord Jesus Christ. We pray for strength and healing and just the joy surround them. Thank you, Jesus, that we can rejoice with them this morning with the good news, just as she desired in her heart to have a natural, Lord God, and you honored her there. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Glory to God. Anytime you enter the Word of God, all things are possible. It just opens up a whole world of possibilities because the Word of God is powerful. It's the same Word that spoke this whole creation to existence, and it's the same Word that's going to call it back out of existence and into a new reality, a new heaven and earth. So very powerful stuff we work with here that we have before us. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, the whole book of Corinthians is part of a series of letters that were written to you and me, written to the church, written to the boys, the girls, the men, the women, the older, the younger, those that are hurting, those that are rejoicing. Doesn't mean you're less spiritual because you're going through something. Doesn't mean you're more spiritual if you're on top of the mountain and you're rejoicing. So it addresses all of us through our daily life. These letters, so much appreciate them. It's been a big focus for us as a little church here for the past few months, looking at the letters to the churches. So in 11, we came up to somewhere around verse 17 or 18. It talked about heresies coming into the church. That's teachings that are really either not necessary or they're kind of off. And he's saying, hey, it's good that these have come through because it shows who's approved. It shows who's approved. Those that would go after such things. And that's in verse 19. For there must be also heresies among you. This must happen. These things will happen. That those that are approved may be made manifest among you. We kind of spun from there into 2 Corinthians 6 and talked about what it means to be approved by God. What does it mean to be an approved son or daughter? You're doing good, in other words. God's proud of you. And we went in there and it was maybe a little different than some of us thought. There's a lot of different things in there. And an approved son or daughter is going through a lot. You'll be challenged in every aspect of your life. God wouldn't have you just sit and collect dust. He's going to challenge you. He's going to desire for you to grow. He's a good father. So it's worth going back through if you doubt who you are in God. Just to go back through 2 Corinthians 6, maybe identify with some of those things that are written there. Now he's going to change up here a little bit, getting into verse 20, talking about more things that these guys were doing. The church of Corinth was quite a church, and it's just amazing to me that he kind of waits to chapter 11 here, way down in the letter, to talk about something that seems to be the most significant of all, where they were really messing up here, and that has to do with the Lord's Supper. I mean, if you're going to at least be good at that time, if we're going to have communion, can we at least be good for a few minutes? You know? Oh my goodness. And no, they had problems with communion too, as we're going to see here. When you come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper, for in eating, everyone takes before the other his own supper, and one is hungry and another is drunken. What? Is exactly, you got it. Verse 22 starts out with what? Say what? You know, they didn't say they have the say in there, but you could put it in there if you want and make it a little more modern. Say what? So yeah, that's all of our jaws drop. Even young people know that's crazy. During communion, that's a pretty serious time. In eating, everyone takes before the other. So they're fighting over the bread. And communion time in this time would have been a full meal too. So they would have, you'd have a nice big chunk of bread. I don't know why we're so chintzy with it these days. We don't have to be. We can do bigger pieces. And like next time, let's do that. Let's do bigger pieces. In this case, that was obviously there were some people that were looking forward to that. They didn't eat at home because there's going to be at church. There's going to be a meal at church, and they're waiting and they're hungry. And I've seen this happen before, but maybe not as extreme as happening here. But you know, I'm talking in front of people or whatever, and someone says, "Well, when are we gonna eat?" you know, and it's like, it's not really why we're here. It's to fill your belly. So I've seen that just a few times, but not to this extreme, especially the drunkenness. And this is, they're actually drinking to the point of being inebriated, being drunk. And that's hard to believe. It's really, you come to, as Alex said, you're dumbfounded. You say, what? This is the heart of what we do as a church, as we gather around the resource of his blood and his body, what they represent, what they've done to us, a very serious moment. It's not about fighting for food. It's not about drinking as much as you can and tying a buzz on. So it's an amazing thing that this is the blood-bought bride of Christ, that Paul would say, I look forward to presenting you to God as a chaste virgin. That means pure, spotless. So this doesn't mean that they weren't saved. Not at all. He doesn't have anything in here about them turning these people over to Satan, you know, that we're doing this. None of that type of discipline. This is just immaturity in the church. This is the babes in Christ that he talked about early on in the chapter, 1 Corinthians. And he says, you guys are babies. You're spiritual babies. And here's the reasons why. You're fighting with each other. You're taking each other to secular courts to resolve issues that the church can decide. Moral issues. We should not be going sitting before a secular judge to decide a moral issue that's going on with us. Between a brother and a brother. Brother and a sister. Sister and a sister. That should not be happening. That was another, say what? You know, what's going on? Are you kidding me? You guys are going to judge angels. You know who you are, Paul is saying. Well, they're babes in Christ, and he's trying to get them to rise up in who they really are. So he talks about this, and I imagine he's kind of holding his head a little bit as he's writing this. What have you, not houses to eat in and drink in? Or despise ye the church of God? Do you really hate your brothers and sisters that much that you would fight over that bread? And shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. It's a simple correction. I can't praise you guys over this. What's happening here? Sorry. Do you really hate each other that much that you would fight over something such as a piece of bread like that? Now he's going to talk about the significance of this bread. So praise God for these issues that go on. We're brought into some great truth. When there's this kind of stuff going on, what happens with dad? What happens with mom? They sit down with you and they talk to you about truth. They talk to you about reality. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. I don't usually do really good on the same night that I'm betrayed. I don't know how long you guys take. You take a couple days to get over it when someone stabbed you in the back and you're all upset and stuff like that. Same night when he was betrayed, he took the bread. He's still ministering. He's still moving forward. He's not withdrawing his hand from the plow. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. And when he had given thanks, he's got a heart of thanks in the midst of being betrayed. Good teaching. He broke it and said, take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner, also he took the cup. When he had supped, saying, this cup is the new testament. It's the new agreement. It's the new contract between God and man. This cup is the new testament in my blood. This do you as often as you drink in remembrance of me. So the object isn't to fill the belly. Very simple teaching. It's to remember what Jesus has done for you and me. And we remember by doing something physical. We don't just like have someone tell us. We actually take part in something that really brings it home. We learn better that way. You know, in the lab, you could teach chemistry all day long or science class, But it's when you get to the lab that you really, your understanding takes place, doesn't it? Oh, you really see that baking soda and vinegar explodes. And the chemical equation now makes sense, that there's power being released. So we do this to really get a grip on something that's very, very, very important. That we know that Jesus loves us all the time. All the time. In the morning, in the afternoon, at night, while we're sleeping, He loves us. That He died for us. If I'm going through this, if this is happening, did you know that Jesus loves you? You don't? Take the bread and take the cup. Get it in. Get it into you. Such an important lesson that He would give us a lab, so to speak, to actually see it before our eyes, to take part of it. For as often, God leave that up to us, as often as we do, eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till He come. Some people do that every time they meet. They'll have communion. It's part of their meeting. Some do once a month, some once a week. But as often as you do, the important thing isn't the frequency. People have the reasons for the different times that they do it. The important thing is as often as you do it, you show the Lord's death till He comes. You show this great event, the greatest event that ever took place in all of creation, wasn't the creation itself, is when the Creator came into the creation and laid His life down for the creatures. That's the greatest event ever. It is the greatest story ever told. There were some readings of it. We're celebrating it this month. The glory of God in the highest was read. James read that. He also read to us, a son is given. The shadow of the cross was over that little baby when he was born. It's hard to think about, isn't it? A tender little baby there in a very humble scene. The shadow of the cross over that. The Lord's death till He come, and we proclaim that. So even more significant than the giving of the Son, than his birth, was His death. His grand purpose for coming to this earth. Well, my purpose is to be a computer technician. My purpose is to be a grandpa, to be a dad, to be an astronaut, to be a turkey?
Tech guy.
A tech guy? All right, Mr. Tech Guy. His purpose was to die. For this purpose was I born. This body was given. This body was fashioned for me to be a sacrifice. Pretty amazing. To think that your whole life, that your whole purpose is to give your life. An incredible thought. Verse 27, wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread, here's a warning. Now the teaching has come, you've sat with your son or daughter, and you've talked to them, you explained to them about truth. Now you're going to say, hey, here's the consequences. Here's the consequences of not living according to that truth. Whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord, unworthily, and they certainly were, shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. So a lot of people have taken that unworthily and they've kind of distorted it and made the communion very weird. And to the point where you can't eat something an hour before you take communion and those kind of things. And you got to make sure you'd had a confession before you went to communion. I grew up in that type of faith. And that, you know, that's taking unworthily to an extreme where it almost becomes unworthy because of the extreme you're going at. The crazy thing is, unworthily simply means what they were doing here. They give the great example of it. They had lost the meaning of what they were doing. It was about filling their belly. It was about getting a little drink of something and tying a buzz on even. Hard to believe, but that's what it is. So it isn't to be some heavy burden on us about taking it unworthily. We're all unworthy. We know that. That's why it's called grace. That's how we accept it worthily, is realizing that. Kind of strange, isn't it? That we receive it not feeling like we deserve it, but that we're unworthy of His grace and His love. That's a healthy place of humility. So we enter the communion table in a place of humility. So unworthily is in a place of pride. You're fighting over it. Hey, give me my thing. This is mine and all that. It sounds like babies. It sounds like toddlers fighting over something. And that's what they are, babes in Christ. We talked about what's the difference between somebody that isn't born again. They're a warm what they call them, whatever. They're not hot, they're not cold, they're warm. They have this form of something. They're not really born again. And then there's the babes in Christ, and sometimes it's hard to tell what's the difference. Well, here's a babe in Christ here. They're fighting over communion. It seems as crazy as that is, you would think, well, that person isn't born again. They're doing something this childish. But they are. They're just a babe. They haven't learned. And Paul is doing that. He's being patient with them. He's persevering, just as Mindy did, and you know, giving birth. There's a process, a long suffering that comes along with us of seeing Christ formed in people. Not to get impatient, to be patient with people. To make them super Christian Billy Grahams in the next 5 minutes isn't going to happen. Inch by inch, they're growing, they're developing, they're crawling, they're walking, and all of that. And all of these parallels are given to us in the scripture. They're very proper to think about. And therefore, we should be patient with each other. We should forbear each other's scruples and, you know, the immaturities that we have. Don't get hung up on that. Don't go run away from that. Just be patient and persevere. Look at the lesson that's given here. A nice, calm teaching, and then there's the, you know, hey, this is why it's so serious. Let a man examine himself, so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eats and drinks unworthily eats and drinks damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. What does he mean by that? For this cause many of you are weak and sickly among you, and many have died even. So going forward in that, we're not to stay in that place of immaturity. We're to grow. And I do believe that God would take a believer out if they're not going to grow. He's going to chasten them. He's going to discipline them and eventually take them. And that's grace. That's okay. That's okay. And I pray that doesn't happen. It's just the opposite, that people would grow. And that's why we're here. That's why we get in the Word. We don't get in the second book of Paul's opinions. You know, we're in the Bible. We're in God's truth here, that we would grow and not remain as babes. Remaining a babe can cause trouble. And the warning's there. Even physical sickness or death. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. If indeed God is judging us because we haven't discerned the body, we haven't taken what he's done, his death, seriously, and chastening comes, it's because he loves us. He's trying to teach us. And if it necessary, he'd even take us home. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. Wait, patient, wait, show humility. Allow the other people in front of you, even though you're starving and your stomach's going boing, 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 boing. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, and yet come not together under condemnation. So that's a good practical advice. Instead of coming to church starving, have a little breakfast before you come. You're not just thinking about food and lamb chops and all that stuff. And the rest will I set in order when I come. So there's more, if you could imagine. There's more that they had trouble with. And chapter 12 talks about idolatry. And then he's going to get into the gifts of the Spirit a little bit. And these people were very used to pagan type of idolatry. That's a very sensual. It's of the physical. Everything that they did that was spiritual was more physically spiritual, if you know what I mean. So they worshiped something that was physical. In order to have a spiritual experience, it had to involve something physical. You know, to produce something that was happening physical in them. And they translated that to be spiritual, and it is not. So that's who Paul is dealing with. This is the bride of Christ at Corinth. They used to be idol followers. He's going to talk about that in these first couple of verses here. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. He wants us to grow. He wants us to use gifts that he's given us. Ephesians 4 talks about the greatest firework that ever went off on this planet. I like big fireworks. They go up there in big showers. Nothing compares to Jesus Christ when he ascended. He ascended, the launch, the passion. And he went up and went up, went up to the right hand of the Father. And he showered. All those sparks came down. A little bit touched James. A little bit touched Dick and Kim and Patty, Seth, Kelsey, everybody here. A little bit of those sparks fell on us. Those are the giftings of the Holy Spirit. Pretty cool thought, thinking of it that way. And he's going to talk about those sparks that hit us, the spiritual gifts. It comes through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Now concerning these spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. I want you to know. Could you imagine going through your whole life and not knowing that you had the most awesomest tool? You've been trying to drive nails with rocks, you know, and you had this beautiful hammer all this time that you could do it with. You had the right tool all the time. You just didn't know about it, so God would have us to know. Verse 2, you know that you were Gentiles, carried away unto those dumb idols, even as you were led. Whatever was going on, you were doing it. Whatever the idol type of sacrifice and worship, you just were led by that type of very sensual, it was all physical kind of thing. It was physical pleasure. It was all related to that. So you would see a lot of times cults have the appearance of light, and it has the appearance of people loving each other. You get behind the scenes a little further, and you find it's just about orgies and sex and all that. So it's all about physical. And that's paganism. There's a lot of that alive today. It's idolatry, and it has to do with physical pleasure. Wherefore I give you to understand, in verse 3, that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. So two things, kind of the opposite sides of the coin. When you're speaking by the Spirit of God is being released out from you, that's speaking in tongues. You're speaking it with groanings. It's just the Spirit working through you. It could even be legible words. It could be words that are understanding, but it's the Spirit of God. It's more of a spiritual prayer that's happening. And you are worshiping God. That is, you're not going to call Jesus accursed. There was some accusation that still exists today that people that speak in tongues are speaking double language. And it's addressed right there in verse 3. It is not that the case at all. No man speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. There was some thought of that even back then, and Paul is addressing that. And he flips the other side of the coin, that no one speaking from his own being can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Both are driven by the Holy Ghost. Both are important. No longer is their walk dealing with this dumb idol that can't speak, but now there's actually things happening. You hear the Word of God happening. You're hearing it right now. I'm speaking to the Word of God. That didn't happen with the idol. So there was just a dumb idol. That means it didn't speak. It didn't say anything. It didn't give any information. It didn't give any help for life. It was just an idol that, you know, they did some ceremony to, and then there was some kind of fleshly kind of thing that would happen around it. So the actual priests that worked in the temples around them were prostitutes. They would work for money. That's how they hired money for their church. There was 1,000 of them. The temple of Aphrodite, right next to Corinth, right in Corinth, right next to these people where they were meeting. 1,000 of them. That's a lot. That's a lot of women coming out every night to do business and raise money for their pagan temple. But all for these dumb idols that don't even speak. False gods, and we have a God that speaks to us. We have a God that's a personal God. He wants to speak to you every single day. I wish the Lord would speak to me. I wish the Lord would speak to me. He is. We need to stop and listen. We need to tune in to the frequency of heaven. We need to seek Him early. There's all kinds of tips for hearing the Word of God. You open your Bible, there's a great tip for you. Verse 4, now he's going to get into these gifts. Now there are diversities, that means all kinds, of gifts, but the same Spirit. Just because there's different gifts doesn't mean that it's to cause different church denominations. Way back here, we see that being brought out in a church that had trouble with that. They were very divisive. They get very quickly get into their huddles. I'm of this person, I'm of that person. This person I believe because of that, and I agree with this person. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. That's the emphasis. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. You have pastor, assistant pastor, Sunday school, teaching, all that, but there's the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God, which works all in all. So he's given us, he's going to teach us what we've been taught this morning. God would have us know about these gifts. But at the same time, he's going to underline something before he talks about these gifts. That it's one God, that it's one Spirit that's behind all of this. And the purpose of that is to bring us together to be a bright, shiny bride, a powerful agent on this earth. Not for the gifts themselves. We just came from a chapter that talked about traditions. A woman getting her hair cut or wearing a hat, a man wearing a hat, all these things. And Paul talking about a tradition in church. And the problem with traditions and the problem with gifts is that the focus can get on those things. And it's a difficult thing. We have to be on guard for that. That a tradition, which can be beautiful, it can tie to a truth. It can be just about the tradition and lose meaning. Taking bread and the wine that is discussed here, that is a ritual. That's a tradition. That's a procedure that we go through, that we repeat. That can lose its meaning, and it sure had lost it here. Now the spiritual gifts. And he wants to emphasize it's not about the gift. It's about the giver. And that giver is among us working and to give him glory through this. There are differences of administrations, that's leadership, but to the same Lord. There are diversities of operations. All sorts of things go on in ministry. But it is the same God which works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. All is the key word of that with all. The manifestation of the Spirit is given not to put a spotlight on a person, it's to profit everyone. The exercising of a teaching going on right now, hopefully prophetic teaching, that's the word you need to hear right now, is to profit you, is to benefit you, is to strengthen you. It isn't to give me reputation. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man, profit everyone, all of us. This can tie back to chapter 10 now, where all of them went through the sea as it was divided. All of them drank from that spiritual rock, which was Christ, the water coming from the rock. Same thing going on in parallels. It's really awesome to see that parallel, that all of us are drinking of the spiritual rock right now, this morning. All of us together, that makes us a body. He goes on to say, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. I've seen that happen time after time here. You've given testimony about something, someone else will say something that jives with that, that clicks, that brings wisdom to that. I see the body working quite often here. It's very exciting. It's awesome. It's cool to be a part of it. For one is given by the Spirit, one Spirit, the word of wisdom, to another, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. Those things are very close. It's hard to tell sometimes the difference between the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge. But if it's helping, who cares what the definition is. It's something that's helpful that's coming from God. Helpful information that's coming from God. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. So the gift of faith, we're all given that. A certain measure of faith. We see scripture that supports that. But certain people are given a measure of faith here that's considered a gift of faith. A gift of faith. A certain extra measure of boldness in an uncertain time. And you'll see that rise up. And when someone is uncertain and they feel cast down, that faith will rise up in another. That's awesome. So I believe these gifts move, as it says here, severally. That means as the Spirit wills and as is needed. So you can experience all of these gifts at different times. That's my personal take on this. I do believe that a certain manifestation of a gift will happen as you experience it. It'll happen more and more as you exercise it. And that's why we kind of think, well, that person has a gift of this and a gift of that. Well, I think it's because they're just using it. You know, they've experienced that gift and they've continued to use it. And then to become the one known as, well, that person has the gift of faith. Well, that person has the gift of healing. Well, they're just using that. They're open to that gift. So don't have a misunderstanding about the gifts. Don't rob yourself of them, that the Spirit of God, it's one God, and He can manifest Himself, and the Spirit of God can will you to have a gift at any time, any place, to His glory. You might be in the remote places of the world, and all of a sudden you're going to need a gift that you didn't actually need here. Experience that personally. It's the same God. That's why. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, diverse kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But all these work that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as He wills. So the body in action, you'll actually see the Spirit of God gift people in different ways. When there's a body of people together, like not everybody will have the same gift at the same time. Sure, James, you got a question?
Just having a hard time understanding the prophecy, the gift of prophecy. Like people just start speaking of like a prophecy of something happening. It seems kind of interesting.
Yeah, a lot of times we just think it's just about the future. Somebody's speaking the future. Oh, God is, and that kind of thing. But it is, in the simplest understanding of prophecy, is speaking the word of God to encourage, exhort, and edify the body. It's speaking forth the word of God to encourage, edify, and exhort the body. It's a little different than teaching. Teaching is breaking out the word of God in small, digestible chunks so people understand what is being taught. That's a different gift. And sometimes they cross over each other. Even during the same presentation, it'll get into the prophetic, where all of a sudden you're feeling the Holy Spirit charge you with something. And then the teaching is like you're coming into an understanding of who God is and who you are. That's you're being taught. It's a different gift, and they could be happening at the same time. So prophecy is very awesome. It's a very powerful gift. And it's the same God that gives it. I pray that when I enter into His word, that it is both. It is of teaching and it is of the prophetic. To another, discerning of spirits. Another, diverse. We're going to come back to some of these as we get into the members here. But all these work that one and selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as He will. So God knows that when a body comes together, that not everyone is going to be prophesying. Not everyone's going to be teaching, and He talks about that. He kind of makes it a question at the end of this chapter. Does everybody do this? Does everybody do this? No, the answer is that's not a body anymore. That's a thumb. That's just one body part. So as Dick was sharing about body parts today, no coincidence, right on the money again there, we're going to be talking about the spiritual body and the body parts of that. For as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been made able to drink into that one Spirit. Again, parallels back into the physical people of Israel, drinking from that rock, eating from the manna of heaven. Eating physically, drinking physically, now it's a spiritual drink. We're baptized into one body. How? Through the Spirit. We're drinking of the Spirit, it says there. You can underline it. All made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I love this analogy, this is so powerful, and this is where it turns more into teaching. It helps you understand. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? So this is where we look at each other and we compare one to another, which we're not supposed to do. It's the unhealthy comparing. You can look at somebody and how they're following Christ and imitate that and want desire to be that. That's okay. The unhealthy comparing is like that person's doing something and I am not of the body until I do what they're doing. You see the difference? That's copying and imitating somebody in an unhealthy way. That's being provoked in an unhealthy way. It's like, I don't belong unless I'm behaving exactly like they do. That's incorrect. So sometimes we don't realize that we're a body part because we don't act like the hand does, or the ear does, or the eyes do. He's going to break that all out here. For the foot shall say, I'm not a hand. Well, therefore, I guess I'm not part of those people. They're all hands. I hope our churches haven't divided to that point where it's like the thumb church across the street, and down the road it's the foot church. And here we have the ear church. You know, come join us if you're kind of an ear person. And I hope it's not like that, because that's pretty weak. The whole idea is that you have an ear, you have a foot, you have a hand, you have an eye, you have a head, you have all the things, they all have, the whole body is present. Else you have a very weak presence of the Spirit of God. That's, we know God wouldn't have it that way. Very well taught here. Don't have to break this out. You don't even have to have the gift of teaching. Just read this chapter. It's very self-explanatory. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? Very simple teaching here. If we're the church of the eye, the all-seeing eye, I hope not. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? There wouldn't be any discernment going on in the hearing sense. If the whole were hearing, where would the smelling be? Where are the church of the noses? But now has God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it has pleased Him. God, You do it. I don't want to do it. I don't want to say you're a nose, you're a hand, you're a foot. That's when it becomes some kind of fleshy thing. And some churches do that. They have you fill out an application and you find your spiritual gift, and you go through a process there, and it can kind of be a little bit, you know, forced. We really want God to do that and us to simply recognize that and lay hands on people and say, you have that gift. You have that gift of encouragement. You have that gift of teaching. You have that gift. But now has God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it has pleased Him. I believe anytime you gather with a believer, that happens. This happens. We get it so into an organized thing and a business kind of thing. Don't do that. You know, it's I'm this in this church. No, anytime you meet with another believer, just two of you, Christ is in the midst. And it's happening. Church is happening when you're just in the simplest church with two people. Then the gifts start flowing. All of a sudden, God could give you the word of wisdom that He wouldn't give you while you're in the assembly on Sunday morning. It's the Spirit of God that leads, and He knows that. So it pleases Him to do that, to have anytime there's more, the two or more are gathered, that He's in the midst, that His koinonia is happening, the live church is happening. That's really cool to think about it that way. So you could have church with just another person, and the gifts can flow. Prophetic can flow. James, you were talking about with your mom. You know, that's church happening. You know, you both yielded to God. Thank you, Jesus. But now, are they many members, yet but one body? One body. Do you think He's emphasizing that, or do you think it's just me? I've been emphasizing that and jumping up and down about that point here, that we're a body. I think God would have us to know that we're one body. He's not done yet. The eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. I am awesome. I can see things. Got 20/20. I don't need a hand. What good is that? A hand can't see anything. Ever play that game in the youth group where they have somebody behind you and they're your hands, and then you're poking yourself in the eye so because it's somebody else's hands? That's a good lesson. Because we want to be a body where that we could actually be coordinated, the hands can be coordinated with the mouth and with the eyes and so forth. So the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of thee, or to the feet, or the head to the feet, I don't need you. Who needs you? Glad that never happens. It must happen. Because it's in here. He preserved it in His word. He knows what we're like. What's happening here is that because I am an eye or I'm a foot and you're not like me, you should go somewhere else. That's what's happening here. It's unrighteous, it's unholy division. God is saying this diversity is awesome. That's a big word today, diversity out there in the culture, but there is the diversity that is a holy one in the church, in the bride. And that's something being as so different as the hand and the eye. Such a difference. You think about it. So different. The most nerves in the body are on this fingertip. The muscles in the hand are just incredible. There's a hand center in Philadelphia just for the hand. Huge place just for the hand. It's such a complicated, beautiful, wonderful thing. And I believe there's articles that give glory to God about the hand and just the miracle of it and how it couldn't just accidentally have come or been evolved. Same with the eye, actually. So such a difference, the eye and the hand. Do you think you guys could get along? You know, you think you could coordinate and work together? Like if the eye sees something, the hand can go to work? That sounds like a good idea to me. So let's appreciate each other's differences and the diversity that we have. That's not a bad word, although it's overused out in our culture. It's a good word in the church, in that holy sense. And he talks about parts that are embarrassing. We all have body parts that we put clothes over. It would be embarrassing if we didn't. And he talks about that. Nay, in verse 22, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. So the part that you think, well, that's not really necessary, it doesn't really contribute to the body here, you better watch out. You know, I think we're going to be surprised. The people that, you know, the parts of the body that contribute that we're not even aware of. The prayer that goes on behind the scenes and the stuff that goes on behind the scenes that doesn't get put in the spotlight. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, that's the embarrassing part. Upon these we bestow much more honor, and our uncomely parts have more, or humble parts, have more abundant comeliness. So there's that aspect going on in the body and the bride as well. That there's even parts that are, you know, they're hidden, and they should be. And they're behind the scenes. They don't need to be brought out in the spotlight. It would defile them. It's just not natural. So he doesn't expound too much on that, so we could use our imagination a little bit. But really to get the point that there's one body, and that body can have some very, very, very different parts and different functions to it. And it should. It should never drive us to the point of gathering with a bunch of eyes. Oh, I'm glad. I just love hanging around eyes. They're awesome because they're like me. I can't stand feet. You know, for obvious reasons. For our comely parts have no need, but God has tempered the body together. God's put it together. You can think of the construction happening there. Having given more abundant honor to that part which lacks. Just the opposite of what we would think. That God is going to honor, that he's going to raise up those humble parts. He's a really awesome God. Really is. That there should be no schism in the body. No division. That the members should have the same care one for another. Can the hand help the eye? Sure can. It's got a splinter in the eye. That eye is not going to do anything. They sit there and cry all day long, and maybe the tears will flush it out, maybe not. Typically, you need the hand. So God he's designed something here that we would have interaction with one another and care for one another. A hand would be working with the eye and the ear and so forth and the foot. And whether one member suffers, and this happens, not just the using of the gifts, but as the member, as the splinter comes to the eye or the toe gets stubbed, and whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Your whole body feels the pain that's going on. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. So that's a complex thing happening on in a body, and our bodies are very complex that way. You could be in pain right now. You could be feeling a pain right now and also rejoicing because a baby was born. How could that happen? Are we able to do that? Yeah, definitely. We're able to do that. We're able to feel the pain of somebody at the same time rejoice with somebody at the same time. And we're amazing creatures that God has created. It's pretty cool. Thank you, Lord. So the body's getting a little tired now, I can tell. We're ready. The body's yawning. All right, I think it's a good time to close the book for today. And we'll continue our teaching about really getting into the nitty-gritty of what the body is about and what it's like. We're getting into the blueprints. We're getting into the design of the body of Christ. It's pretty cool. The parts. If you're parts, if you're a tech like Alex was talking about, we're talking about parts here, part numbers and identifying the body parts. It sounds kind of weird and gross, but it's what God has called His bride, His body, to be a very powerful agency on this earth. Iman. Awesome. Anybody have a song they want to pick out of the black book? Maybe we'll finish with that today. You know, we're in the Bible. We're in God's truth here, that we would grow and not remain as babes.